morning. So nice to see everyone. And today's daf is daf Yud Ches. We were already somewhat, I guess, maybe eight or so, nine lines down here on daf Yud Ches. At the top of the Amud, we saw that the Gemara had mentioned that even if you hold that a board that's four tefachim wide is pasul, if you had a sukkah that was exactly eight amos in length, so then if you'd have a board schach, board schach, board schach, and you had the two schachos next to each other, so you'd end up with a precisely kosher sukkah because you would invoke dofen akuma, the bending of the wall, in order to turn all the boards into part of the wall and thereby make it kosher. Okay, so we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines down. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Avir Shlosha Besukkah Gedola. Let's say you have a large sukkah. It's not a minimum-sized sukkah. But you have in the schach a gap of 3 tzvachim. So a gap of 9.8 inches just of air. So now the sukkah is pasul. We're in Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, about 12 lines down. Amar Abaye. Avir shlosha besukkah gedola. If you have a gap of avir, of airspace, in a large sukkah, so a gap of 3 tefachim in a large sukkah will make the sukkah pasul. So now if you want to make it kasher, instead of putting kasher schach, Umiato, he reduced the size of the gap. Bein bekanim, whether he does it with kasher schach, bein bespudin, or he did it with sticks of metal. He did it with metal pokes. He puts a couple of metal pokes in there to reduce the gap. So that's pasul schach. But now you don't have an airspace gap of 3 tzvachim. Havi miut, that is a good reduction. And now the sukkah is kosher. So the sukkah ktana, but if you have a very small sukkah of only, Rashi explains, why is it a good reduction? Because the amount of airspace that would disqualify a sukkah is 3 tzvachim. The amount of pasul schach that disqualifies a sukkah is 4 tzvachim. So once you had 3 tefachim of airspace, but now you fill in a couple pieces of metal, so you have less than 3 tefachim of airspace, you also have less than 4 tefachim of pasul schach. So that's why it would be kosher.
But the metal is tameh.
It could become tameh, that's right. You can't use metal, but since you're only using less than 4 tefachim worth of the metal, it's okay.
That's not cool.
That's right.
So, you know, I used to make sukkah, I put bamboo next to each other.
Nice.
That is not a kosher sukkah?
That's very kosher. That's perfect.
So
beautiful.
You have to have minimum of one.
You can't have. You can't have a tefach. You cannot have a tefach between them. If you don't,
you cannot.
Then it's okay.
But next to each other.
Perfect. Wonderful. Now let's say besukkah ketana, a person has a tiny sukkah, exactly 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and in this sukkah ketana of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, there is a gap of airspace of 3 tefachim. So bekanim, if he puts in reeds to reduce the 3 down to 2.5 or 2.4, have a miut. That's a good reduction, because once he put in reeds, now he doesn't have a gap of 3 tefachim. So there's lavud, as Rashi says. When you have a gap of less than 3 tefachim, it's filled in. So now you only have kosher schach. Bishpudin, but if he reduced the gap of 3 tefachim with pieces of metal, lo havi miut, that is not a reduction, and the sukkah is pasul, because what you have here is 3 tefachim worth of space without kosher sukkah stuff in it. Part of it is air, part of it is metal. So 3 tefachim worth of space stands on its own. They're not combined to each other. So you don't have the shear of the sukkah. The shear of the sukkah is supposed to be 7 tefachim. You don't have it. Vahani mili. Now when do we say this? that a gap of airspace of less than 3 tefachim would not disqualify the sukkah min hatzad. That's when that gap is between the schach and the wall. It's on the side. Aval be'emtza. But if you had a gap of airspace in the middle of the schach, then pligi ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. So then you have an argument between Rav Acha and Ravina. In the middle, you have an argument between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad Amar, one holds Yesh Lavud ba'emtza, that even in the middle of the schach, you can have Lavud. If you have a gap of airspace of less than 3 in the middle of the schach, there's Lavud. The Chad Amar, one held, Ein Lavud ba'emtza. There's no Lavud in the middle. Okay, so it's an interesting thing, right? Because there's a famous Rambam. The Rambam says in his sort of foundations of how to understand Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam says that those, when we have things that are halacha l'moshe misinai, everybody would always treat it with a lot of care because this was not written. There was no text. It's tradition that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai and passed it on from generation to generation. So the Rambam says there are no machloksim, there are no disputes in the halachos l'moshe misinai. There are disputes about drashos that you interpret out of the pasuk, interpretations, rabbinic law, did make a decree, didn't make a decree. But in halachos l'moshe misinai, the Rambam says there's no disputes. So this is one of the many gemaros that's a problem with that Rambam, because here we're talking about lavud. We're talking about lavud is halachos l'moshe misinai. There's no pasuk that says that less than 3 is considered filled in. And here we say there's argument here, pligiba, between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad Amar, one said, yesh lavud ba'emtza, you can have lavud in the middle of a schach. Chad Amar, one said, ain't lavud ba'emtza, there is no lavud in the middle of schach. So I thought it's halach l'moshe misinai. Where is there, how could there be a machlokas about it, according to the Rambam? So there's an answer that they say in the name of the Brisker Rav. We learned this Gemara back when we were learning, I think it was Tmura. So the Gemara said that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, everybody was so sad, they were mourning for him, that they forgot 3,000 halachos. So there were 3,000 halachos l'moshe misinai that were forgotten when he died. And they were all brought back through Asniel ben Kenaz, through his pilpul, through his interpretation of the Torah. That's the idea that he conquered Kiryat Sefer. So maybe in those halachos, those that were forgotten for a period of time, then they weren't so clear about the tradition, then you could have arguments about them. So this would have been one of those halachos. But again, if there are 3,000 halachos that there are machloksim about, and it's not such a rule, halach l'moshe misinai, you don't have an argument about, because you have 3,000 halachos where there are arguments about them. But it's a problem, this idea of the Rambam. Yeah, question.
If Ravina, you have it, ma'amin b'shitat lavud in general.
Correct.
How can you come here and say the answer, I don't want lavud?
Well, I saw one of the explanations that, you know, maybe he holds that lavud is a law within walls. Because when you think of the language of the halacha l'moshe misinai, it was shiurin chatzitzin mechitzin, halacha l'moshe misinai. So maybe in mechitzos, there are laws of mechitzos. These are halachas l'moshe misinai. It'd be 10 tefachim tall, there's dofen akuma, kodasik. These are all laws of walls. But the schach's not a wall, the schach's the roof. So maybe in the schach, you don't have the law of lavud. No, well, if you hold Ein Lavud ba'emtza, then in the middle, even if it's
1 inch,
maybe not 1 inch, but at least 3 inches would be, well, that's what I was saying this morning. Some say at least a tefach.
Yeah, but again, that's based on the concept that your head is probably a tefach.
Mm.
So, panim is tefach, right? Talking about panim, so they're saying you're under a sukkah, so you're standing, your head is a tefach. That's like Rosh HaGerubo.
Right.
That's the logic. But otherwise, it's a l'chala m'shem sinai, then you shouldn't have anything.
Yeah, maybe. All right, my time at the Man Damar, Yesh Lavud Be'emtza. What's the source for the view who holds that even in the middle of a roof, you could have Lavud? So I sent out the pictures for today's daf on our chat. Titania, we learned in a Braisa. Kora.
Which picture are we on,
right? Oh, let me see for a second. What picture are we on? Back in Erevin, exactly. This is picture 115. So remember, we have there are houses. The houses open up into courtyards. The courtyards open up into an alleyway. The alleyway itself has three walls, but on the fourth side, it opens directly up into the street. So you need to put on the fourth side a cross beam so that people not confuse the street with the alleyway, and people shouldn't think that they can carry from the alleyway out into the street. So Tanya, we're going to write, Sakora, Yotzes, Mikosel, Zet. This is picture 115. If you have a cross beam coming out of one wall, but Ve'en no gas, Mikosel, Acher, doesn't reach all the way to the next wall, doesn't touch the next wall. Or V'chein Shtei Koros, that's picture 116. Achas Yotzes, Mikosel, Zet. One cross beam goes out of one wall. V'achas Yotzes, Mikosel, Acher. The other one comes out of the other wall. They don't touch each other. So there's a gap here in the middle of this side, middle of the fourth side. There's a gap. Pachas mishlosha. If the gap is less than three tefachim, it doesn't have to bring another crossbeam because it's considered filled in. So you see that we say lavud even on a gap of less than three in the middle. Shlosha. If there's a gap of three, tzarach lavi korach heres. V'idach. Now, the other opinion who says ein lavud ba'amtsa, isn't this the proof that yesh lavud ba'amtsa? He'll tell you no. Shiny koros drabanan. There, it's different. We're talking about a rabbinic law, right? Biblically, you're allowed to carry in the alleyway even without any crossbeam in the front because the alleyway has three walls. It's all a rabbinic law that we don't want people to get confused between the alleyway and the street. All right, it's just a rabbinic law. So they were lenient. They said, "Well, we'll take the concept of lavud in the middle too."
So they're going to Erevin now.
Exactly, yeah. Ah. Sukkah brings us back to Erevin. A lot of connections between Sukkah and Erevin. Geometry. My time of the man, Amar, ain't love a bamsa. Now, what's the source for the opinion that we don't say lavud in the middle of a roof? And here we have picture 116. And this has to do with Tumas Ohel. This takes us to Ohalos. That's now in the Mishnah. Aruba Shebabayas, what do they call the windows in a roof? A skylight?
Skylight.
So a skylight in a ceiling. Uva poseach tefach. And it is at least a tefach. Then Tumah Babayas. If there is Tumah in this room, Kulo Tameh. The entire room becomes Tameh. However, Shekineged Aruba, those objects that are underneath the skylight, that are opposite the skylight, Tahor, they are Tahor. Tuma Kineged Aruba, if the Tuma, the dead body, is directly underneath the skylight, then Kalabayas Kulo Tahor, then the rest of the room is Tahor, because the rest of the room is not Mahil, it's not an Ohel on Tuma. Ein baruba poches tefach, but if poseach tefach, but if that skylight is less than a tefach, it's less than a tefach, then tuma babayis, if there's a tuma in the room, keneged aruba tahor, that which is opposite that skylight is tahor. But tuma keneged aruba, but if the tuma is opposite that skylight, still since less than a tefach, Kalabayis Kulo Tahor.
So Rabbi, what is the relationship between Sukkah and picture number 116?
Well, what you see here is that, right, we said again, Aruba Shababayis, if there is a skylight in the room, Uva Poseach Tefach, and it is just an opening of a tefach, tuma babayis, the tuma that's in the room, kulo tame, the rest of the room is tame, but masha keneged aruba is tahor, what's opposite the aruba is tahor. Why? Because that's not considered being under the roof, it's considered being underneath the skylight. Why? Why is the skylight something? It's only a tefach by a tefach. Why don't you say lavud? You see that we don't say lavud in the middle of a roof.
So, just
the listeners.
This is give you an idea about the Tameh and not Tameh.
Right, but you see the no, you do because you see that there's no lavud. Lavud means when you have a gap of less than three, it's considered filled in. And here you see that gaps are not considered filled in, because if the gap would be filled in, then everything in the room would be tameh, right? Because the next line even more, right? Tuma keneged aruba. Let's say this little piece of tuma. Let's say you have a piece of a dead body, and it's just opposite the window. The rest of the room is tar. If you say that a gap of less than three in the middle is considered filled in, so then it's all considered under the roof. Everything should be tummy. And then it goes even further. Even if this window is less than a tefach, tuma babayis, if the tuma is not underneath this little window part, this little window, which is less than a tefach, keneged aruba, that's which opposite this window, less than a tefach, is tar. The objects are tar. They're not considered in the room. Tuma keneged aruba, and if this little piece of tuma is opposite this little crack in the ceiling, kol habayis kulo tar, the rest of the house is tar. So you see, we're not saying lavud. If you'd say lavud, it's filled in. If it's filled in, it's one common roof.
Even less than a tefach.
Right, even less than a tefach, exactly.
That was my point, that this idea of lavud ba'emza applies on anything.
Or doesn't apply to anything, right.
Yeah. How is it that the rest of the room is tar?
What's that?
How is it that the rest of the room is tar?
Because the tumah is not considered under that part of the room. It's not under that.
I know, but what happens? But just because within the room it's under that skylight.
Right, the skylight's open.
Tumah
doesn't spread laterally. It has to first spread vertically and then laterally. It has to go up, hit the ceiling, and then spread. Here it goes up through the ceiling all the way up to the heavens. It's gone.
So, Rabbi, if you see a dead animal in your sukkah, okay?
And then, you don't have to worry about dead animals in the sukkah.
That is kosher.
Kosher, that's fine.
Kosher Pesach.
Here we're talking about a dead person. We're talking about a dead person.
No, dead dog, you know, animal.
No, but that's not what we're talking about. We talk about, there's no tumas ohel for nevela, for dead animals. There's tumas ohel is only with a person. Adam ki yamus ba'ohel. Person who dies. That's why in this picture you see there have a talis over the dead body. Picture 116, it's a person who's underneath.
If someone is sitting in the sukkah, have a heart attack, die, still the sukkah is kosher
la pesach. The sukkah is so be kosher, Nebuch, yeah, that's very
don't
sad.
Bring a coin in there.
Don't bring a coin next to him, yeah.
Don't bring a coin, okay.
Yeah, the coin couldn't even be under it, right? So the Idach, now the one who will tell you that Yesh Lavad Be'emtza will tell you, Shiny Ilchos Tuma, the laws of Tuma are different. That was the tradition, Alach al Moshe Mi-Sinai, that there's no lavud ba'emtza in the middle of a ceiling, in the middle of an ohel for tuma. You can't learn from there to anywhere else. Okay, that completes that discussion. Tarash Rabbi Yehuda taught, Bayis Shenifchas, if a room, the ceiling gets broken open, the Sikach al Gabav, and he puts Schach on top, Sheira, the sukkah is kosher. I'm a lefana, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said before him, Rabbi Parish, this is how the word should be explained. Explain your words. So, Kach Pirish Abba, this is what my father explained, Rabbi Yossi explained. Arba Amos Psula. If it's four Amos, this hole, and it's Pasul. Pachos me Arba Amos Kshera. But if it is less than four Amos, then it would be Kosher. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai taught another lesson. Avroma Sharia. Right. Again, he said that, as we said before, if the gap between the wall and the kasher schach is four amos and it's pasul, pachos mi'arba amos, if it's less than four amos, then it's kasher. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai taught another lesson. Avroma sharia. Avroma is a type of fish, and it's allowed, even though sometimes in the fish you have these little bugs, and this fish, this avroma, it's allowed. Amar Lefanu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi, my teacher Parish, you should explain yourself. Kach Amar Abba, this is what my father explained. Rabbi Yossi said, Shel Makom Ploni Asura. Of a certain place, this Avroma fish is not allowed. Rashi explains, because in that river, they do have little shratzim. And because they're so small, you can't notice them in the fish. However, Shalmakom Ploni of a different place, they are mutares. These fish are allowed because there they don't have shratzim growing. Kihad Amar Abaya, Abaya taught, Hai Tzachanta. Tzachanta is a type of small fish. The Bav Nahara, from the river Bav. Sharia, it is kosher. My time or why? Elim Mishim Dirudifi Mayiv, you're going to say because the water is very fast, the water there runs fast. By Dag Tame, non-kosher little fishes. Kevin the Les Luchu Tashedra, since they don't have a spinal cord, they don't have the ability to withstand, you know, the fast-paced running waters. Lo matzikayim, they can't survive. But we do see that there are non-kosher little fishes in many rivers with running water. Ella, the answer is mishum de melichi maya. In this river Bav, the water is salty. The high dog tame and the non-kosher little shratzim came in the leslu kilfi. Since they don't have scales, lo matzikai, they cannot survive. But even that's a problem. Kachazina and dekai, we do see that they survive. Ella, rather the issue is mishum lo marba tinaihu dog tame. The mud of that river does not make the non-kosher fish grow there. The mud from that river doesn't make the non-kosher fish grow there, and that's why these little fish, the tzachanta, are kosher, because you know there's no non-kosher fish growing there. Amar Avina, Avina said, Va'idna, but nowadays, where they've added water to this river, Va'idna d'shafchi nahar esan nahar gamdala hasam, Nahar Eitan and Nahar Gamdar pour out into the Bav River. Asira, you can't eat the tzachant of the Bav River because from these other rivers, their mud does produce the non-kosher creatures. And you might be eating the non-kosher creatures when you eat the fish. This is a big issue with New York water. New York water comes from the New York Reservoir. And they found a bunch of years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that there are these little non-kosher creatures floating in the water, copepods. So the question is, do you have to filter the water before you drink New York water? Maybe the New York water also comes from a place like Bav Nahara, where it's normally not having the mud next to it make the bugs grow. And it's a whole issue about New York water.
Versus this
one. Oh, that's a very important point. No, it has to be anything that's a problem has to be visible to the naked eye. If it's not visible to the naked eye, only visible to a microscope, that's not a problem. But
so
they
the New York water was visible.
Yeah, they found these little green bugs in them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Certainly, the bottled water is fine. Itmar, we learned. Okay, going back to the issues of Dofen Akuma, etc. This is picture 117. Sichech al gabi aksadra sheyesh leptzimin. Let's say you have a courtyard, and all around the courtyard there is a portico. And then past the portico there's open space. So you put the schach on the open space of the courtyard, and he leans the schach on the edges of the portico. Now there's no wall here because this portico is more than 4 amos from the wall. But underneath the portico roof, there are all sorts of pillars which have between them less than 3 tfachim. So that's this picture 117, right? If you see the picture, all these wooden beams, these 2x4s. There's less than 3 tefachim between one and the next. And they are supporting a nice portico, a nice roof that goes around the courtyard. And he puts kasher schach there from one edge to the next. So sichel gabi aksar sheyesh la ptzimin ksheira. If it has all these pillars, then it'll be kasher. Shein la ptzimin, if it doesn't have pillars, that's already picture 118. It doesn't have pillars. The roof doesn't have pillars, and the roof is more than 4 amos away from the walls of the houses. Abaya Amakshar, Abaya said it's still kosher. Rav Amar Psula, Rav said it's pasul. Abaya Amakshar, Abaya says it's kosher. Now turning to...
I'm sorry, Rabbi, what is from the wall to the 4 amos? Is that non-kosher stuff?
Well, it's beams. So, and since the beams were put there to be permanent, it's not kosher because it's a house.
Right.
And they're nailed there. So that's already considered a house. So that's why you couldn't sit under that. So Abaye Amar Ksher, Abaye said it's kosher. Now turning to Yud Ches Amud Beis, because of the concept of Amrinan Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem. Because we say that the edge of the roof comes down and it seals the whole area. This is picture 118. Right? Because if you have a pi tikra, you have an edge of a roof, you have a tefach coming down, if the roof is coming down a tefach, then it's considered to go down all the way.
So the beam is thick.
The beam is thick, and the schach's on top of the beam. So you have a tefach, and then it's considered coming down. And he says not only can you say pi tikra once, you can say it on each side to give you 3 walls. These are all these yellow dotted lines. These yellow dotted lines in the picture are the pitikra yored v'sosem coming down. Now, Rav Amar Psula, Rav said it's possible. Lo amina pitikra yored v'sosem. You can't say that the edge of a roof comes down to create for you a wall.
So, 118 is possible.
According to Rav, it's possible. According to Abaye, it's kosher. We always paskin like Rava when we argue with Abaye, except for Bial Kigam. Is correct.
It's the sukkah with no walls.
Just with a frame. A frame. Abaye holds that's okay. And tie the curtain down, as we'll see, right? That's right. That'd be nice. That would be very nice.
Unbelievable.
That's right. So Rav Amar Psula, lo amin pitikra yored v'sosem. We don't see that the edge of the roof comes down and seals it. Amalei Rav al Abaye. Rav says to Abaye, lididach, according to you, damayta pitikra yored v'sosem, that you hold pitikra yored v'sosem, then afilu hifchis. This is picture 119. Let's say a guy took away the middle wall, so he only has 2 walls now, one side and the other side. It should be okay. Because we should say that the cross beams that are holding up the schach, that's a pitik, and they go down. That I agree, that doesn't work. And since you have open space from one side to the next, that looks like a open street, and therefore that can't be a sukkah. It's not a private domain.
That doesn't make sense. That's why Rashi, because if you have nothing, it's okay. But if you have 2 this way, it's okay.
No. But you have walls. They're just further away.
Yeah, but they're not part of the sukkah. Period.
They're not part of the sukkah, but it's not a thoroughfare. Rashi says here, Madinul Chabayit, the kibbutz Avir Patuach Lenegdo, since the airspace is open on the other side. This is like a clear street. This is like a street that's open on each side. And the Asuila Kapandaria, it's made to be a shortcut. The Pekias Rabim, for masses of people to walk through. And that is no good.
No, my point was that there's a reason it doesn't completely reject this because of what I'm saying. Because they're saying it makes no sense to have a sukkah with no walls, but to have a sukkah with 2 walls. So that's why there's a whole long Tosfot that says, this makes no sense. And they say it's got to be at least 2 walls for the third wall to be pitikra yored. So they're explaining it completely differently.
They have a whole different explanation.
Yeah, because...
Let's propose that Abaye and Rava are arguing in the same argument that Rav and Shmuel had. We learned Aksadra Bikra. Talking about on Shabbos, if you have in a big open valley, a portico, a little roof, Rav Amar Mutu Letzalta Bakula, Rav said you can carry the whole area. We see that the edges of the walls come down, the edges of the roof come down and make walls. Lamrina and Pitukah Yod V'Sosim. Shmuel says you can't because we don't say Pitukah Yod V'Sosim. Says the Gemara, Liba Shmuel Kol Yamal Pligi. According to Shmuel, yes, certainly nobody argues. Liba de Rav, but according to Rav, Abaye Kirav. Abaye says, well, Rav holds of Pitukah Yod V'Sosim. You can carry underneath the roof in a valley. So underneath the edges, there's going to be Schach. So according to Abai Sam Fan Grav, and Rav Amalcha Rav will tell you, no, Ad Kalam Rav Hasam El Demachitzos Lachsad Yehu Davidi. This Pitikra was made for this space. This roof was made for this space. Avalach, but over here, the Lav Lach Yavidi, where it wasn't made for this space, right? The Aksadja was not made to create a roof underneath it for the Schach. Therefore, lo, then we wouldn't say, Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow with Daf Yud.